My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek : A Glee Podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Listen, everybody, I'm afraid you didn't hear. Do you want to see a crazy lady fall apart in front of you? It isn't only Paul who would be ruining his life. You know, both of us be losing our identities. I telephoned my analyst about it, and he said to see him Monday, but by Monday, I'll be floating in the Hudson with a minisode. I'm not well, so I'm not getting married.
It's just such a stupid one to pick. It only says Monday twice in the whole song.
Woo! It's Monday, baby, and we're not getting married today.
No. You and me?
No.
We are getting platonically married someday.
Just not today.
Yeah, those tax benefits.
We're getting platonically married to make ourselves more marketable as a husband and wife performing duo.
Because I swear, you guys have seen those like theater, like those regional theaters that like cast husband and wife. And then that's all over their like marketing, like real life husband and wife duo.
Yeah.
And if they did that for us, we could cast way more often.
Can you imagine Fantastics? Matt and Louisa are husband and wife.
Dude, people would lose their minds.
If anyone is casting the Fantastics. Yeah. Orlando Shakes is, but the submission already closed.
Oh,
we missed it.
Freaking dip.
If anyone listening, it works at Orlando Shakes.
We're available. And they want to fire the Matt and Louisa they already have to cast these two assholes. But I would get married quickly to make this happen.
I'm just manifesting it. Those characters are teenagers. We do not have a lot of time left to play
them.
We
truly don't.
Okay. Hi, everyone.
Hi. Hey, what's up, you guys?
My name is Ian Allred. I'm not getting married today. I also would love to play Matt in The Fantastics. Please let me know. You can contact me at recoveringgleek@gmail.com. I'm also, I don't know if you knew this, a mini Gleek.
Whoa.
Right?
Hey, guys. My name is Lena Knatzer. And if Ian and I get Matt and Louisa at Orlando Shakes, if you guys make this happen for us, you can all come to our wedding. But mostly I'm a mini Gleek.
Yeah, mostly that. You guys, please do not... what is the word I'm looking for?
Bully Orlando Shakes.
Yeah, please do not bully Orlando Shakes. All right, what's up?
I mean, you could bully them if you wanted.
Just don't tell them we sent you.
Don't tell them we sent you.
They're a good theater. I'd like to work
with
them someday.
Who are we? Gabby Hanna? Did you hear that she does that?
No. The most I know about Gabby Hanna is just clips of her on TikTok where she's like, not to toot my own horn, but beep the fucking beep. I am such a nice person.
Every once in a while, I get like, I wouldn't say dragged into it, but I like just like go down a big rabbit hole and I like remember all the shit that she's done. And I'm like, ugh.
I truly had never heard of her before because now I was in Argentina for the prime of Vine.
Thing, yeah.
Yes. And I had no access to internet because I didn't have internet when I was there. And so the first time I ever heard about her is when that like behind the lyrics video she did went viral.
Oh, yeah, the what if I'm the monster?
Yeah. And I was like, who the heck is this girl?
I mean, this isn't a Gabby Hanna podcast, but
this is the Gabby Hanna mini-sode.
Literally.
For some reason, all of our listeners emailed us about Gabby Hanna. I know. This week.
I'm like, I was ready to talk about Asian F, you guys.
But I guess if we had to talk about Gabby Hanna, I guess we will.
I know, literally. How was your? We both just got done with a performance of Pirates of Penzance. How'd your show go? I'm just kidding.
It did not go well. You know, it did not go well.
Talk about it.
I think
my show went bad too. That's why I'm laughing.
I think that my performance went well, and I think the audience all thought I had a good job. For reasons that we won't get into on this podcast, I was actively having a panic attack for 3/4 of the performance. Yeah. So I would just go off stage and then put my head between my knees and take deep breaths and then go out and tap dance. So it was a wild one.
You did a great job, though.
Thank you.
No, I had a weird show. I felt like I just like couldn't pay attention. Oh, don't tell my boss this. But like there were just moments where I was like, I'm not like dropped in the moment. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I think it went well.
Yeah. No, it was a great show.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And the audience like lost their minds. Yeah, so I think we both did a very good job. Mm-hmm. We just know because we're ourselves that our brains were having a hard time.
And that's the thing is, I think I'm the least perfectionist person you could meet, like about anything. Like I'm like cool with being mistreated. Just kidding.
Oh, no,
I mean like I'm not a perfectionist at all. When it comes to my job, if I'm not like at like my A game, I just like I get so down on myself, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Absolutely.
Yeah. Like I don't care if my room is messy, or my eyeliner it can be messy.
Same here.
Yeah.
But
literally.
Yeah.
You ready to talk about Asian
Gabby Hanna? Let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's start at the beginning.
All right. Very good place to start.
I do have a question for you.
What?
Pre-question to the question. Do you count scissors as one knife or two knives?
I count them as not a knife, but if I had to gun against my head qualify them as a knife, I would say they are two knives.
Okay, then there are 1, 2, 3, 4 knives on this table. I just thought it was funny. Okay, you ready to talk about this?
We're just interior decorating. We just like placing knives everywhere.
I really like it.
Just keep people excited. Keep them on their toes.
I know. It's like, woo.
Weapons everywhere.
Kitchen utensils on the table. I love it. I love it. I love it. Are you ready to get into this mini-sode?
Yes.
Alrighty. Up first, we have an email from Calorgio.
Greetings and salutations, Ian and Lena. My name is Calorgio, pronouns they, he, from the Great Lakes State of Michigan, and I am a proud Latine in theater. I am a choreographer and director in my area of the state, for preface. When I first watched Glee, I was in middle school and early high school as well. I remember falling in love with the character of Mike Chang the first time I saw him dance. He truly inspired me as I grew up in a very toxic environment where I was bullied by my birth family for wanting to dance. I was told so many times that I was a sissy and boys shouldn't dance, and I needed to get my head out of my ass and start thinking like a real man and get a job. I remember seeing this episode and having so many conflicting emotions about it. First, I can never not watch Harry Shum Jr. absolutely murder that dance floor and not bawl my eyes out. That scene is my Glee core memory. It's so altogether stunning, and who doesn't live for Kevin Bacon circa Footloose-inspired angry dance? However, it's this very racist plotline that overshadows the whole thing. Mike Chang has barely gotten any kind of plot relevance, and the first time these three white knights get him some lines, they literally destroy his family and give this poor child everlasting trauma. When he is on the phone leaving a voicemail and says, "I'm so sorry I disappointed you," I screamed at the TV. "It's so hard to watch. I'm going to act out the following emojis." Mm-hmm. For a gleeking A-. And somehow they drag this out forever. No spoilers. It's just so heartbreaking to have seen in real time. And I remember this episode and plot being what started my fracture with Glee. I think that also may be why it's a core memory. Also, I want to thank you guys for saying on the last minisode that when doing a show that is intentionally diverse, the bare minimum is to have a diverse production team. I would say that that should go regardless of if the show is intended for a diverse casting or not. Mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer of walking into every room I have been put in and looking around and asking, who's here? Cool. Who's missing? That's how you create meaningful, careful art. When having many voices and experiences, it allows audiences to see themselves on stage in an honest light. If the actor can find it. A techie joke. Anyways, I so graciously love the conversations you have and spark on this podcast as well. You two should really consider hosting a live recording after y'all finish your season in October and have a much needed vacation. Maybe record a Christmas ep. Who knows? Anyways, so sorry this is so long. I had so many thoughts, and I have been waiting so patiently for this episode. I hope y'all are well, both physically and mentally, and that you guys are taking care of yourselves with your much-deserved busy schedules. So much love and admiration for you two. Consensual kisses on your cheeks, if I can, because that's how Mexicans like to greet and say goodbye. Adios, Colorio Romesho. That's the end of the email. I said it as if there was more. Adios, Colorio Romesho. There it is.
All right. I love this email. Thank you so much for sharing this. Thank you for sharing that story. And also, I think that just the sentiment of like walking into a room asking who's here, who's missing mm-hmm. is such a good thought. Oh my gosh.
And yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that.
Yes. This email is fantastic.
Yeah. A plus.
A gleeking A plus. I personally think a live episode would be fun. Also, what does that mean?
Yeah, I don't really know.
Do you mean like we're on Discord recording and people are just like watching? Because hear me out.
A Twitch stream. Should we become Twitch streamers?
Maybe
I don't
Twitch
know how
stream.
To do that.
Our dream from the beginning of this podcast was that we would go on tour. We do not have enough listeners to
God bless you all.
But maybe we do a Twitch stream podcast episode.
That'd be fun.
Maybe we're done then.
We could do that.
Yeah.
Like again, if you have ideas on how that could work, go ahead and give us an email.
We love pawning off all of our work on
all
you
of our
guys.
Busy work. No,
if you can figure out all the logistics of that, we will not pay you for it.
No,
but we will.
That makes me sad.
Thank you.
No, but like if there's a cool way to do that that people
yes.
know.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Ian and I, we're out of touch. But oh my gosh, thank you so much for this message.
Thank you.
Up next, we have a voicemail from Chris.
Hey guys, this is Chris. She, they would give you another swan song, but Ezekiel does not deserve one. So, to get onto the episode, I think Will is so obsessed with Nationals because he chose the Glee Club over his own career and success, and then they went and lost. And so he's like, well, I chose these kids in a way to be successful. And they failed me. So now he's like, they can't fail me again because I chose them. I chose them and I can't go back to like following my own career and stuff. That ship has sailed. And so I think that's where Will's mindset is at right now. Another thought, when Lena said Puck looked like a Muppet, I cackled like a little witch. Very good joke, Lena. A+. Anyway, I hope you all doing well. I love you very much. Kisses. Bye-bye. Mwah.
Chris, some very interesting takes on Gabby Hanna in there. Focusing on the Glee stuff, though.
I
completely
hate your guts.
Thank you. I love your justification for why Will has turned into like
insightful
a dictator.
As hell. Seriously, that makes so much sense.
Makes a lot of sense. He's bitter because the guy who replaced him in the Broadway show won a Tony, and he's like, so help me, the least that I can have going for me is a Nationals winning show choir.
So the guy won a Tony, right?
Yes.
Okay. Let me just think about the timeline of that, because they were in New York, and the shows were almost in previews in like, what, April? I don't think that that would count for that year's Tonys.
I'm looking up when Tony season is, but the internet is playing pranks on me. Tony award season cut off for 2019 to 2020. It was going to be April 23rd, and then it got changed to February because Broadway shut down because of the pandemic.
Okay.
So usually the cutoff, I would imagine, from that is in... Because, yeah, the year before in 2019, they had to have opened by April 23rd, 25th. So, like, end of April, okay, it has to be opened.
Maybe they could have made it.
But that episode aired in May, so I always assumed it was May. But they never explicitly, like, no one, like, points to a calendar, and they're like, it's today's
I
day.
I guess it's eligible.
Some may be.
Hell, yeah.
Maybe.
Well, congrats right to that guy, whoever he is.
Congrats to that guy. It was, of course, Joel Grey.
Oh, Joel Grey.
Joel Grey.
Best known for...
And April Rhodes.
Best known for Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Joel Grey.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that's what made him a household name. That's what put him on the map. It's his two-episode arc on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
It's a good two
where
episodes.
Where he fights someone with his tongue. Yes, Chris. I do... Like, it makes complete sense. Will's bitter because Joel Grey was in... Crossroads, the Britney Spears, the musical version of the Britney Spears movie.
By April Rhodes, yeah.
And so he is like, you know, he's just trying to reclaim some dignity. Absolutely. And he's taking it out on his students. That makes total sense. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sending this in.
Oh my gosh, seriously. That I listened to this message and I was like, that is so duh, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
Incredible.
Chris, thanks heaps. Up next, we have an email from Nikki.
Hi.
That was so shy the way you said that.
What just happened? Hi. Okay. Take two. Hi, Lena and Ian. My name is Nikki, she, her. I am, unfortunately, a Gleek, and I'm from Utah. Smiley face with a cowboy hat on. I hope this emoji shows it's the Yeehaw guy.
It does.
I first discovered your podcast on TikTok, like most people it seems, back in November 2020-ish. I have been having so much fun listening to the podcast. I'm caught up with the regular episodes and I've been catching up with the minisodes. It's been so fun to hear your thoughts about the show because I have many myself, but don't have friends to talk to about it. The few friends who have watched it only watched a couple of seasons so that we can't really dive into it. So it's like you guys are my friends who I get to listen to talk about it. I was in middle/high school when Glee was airing, and man, what a time. I have some thoughts about Asian F, and for the sake of keeping this email not obscenely long and just regular long, I'm mainly going to talk about Mike's storyline. As an Asian American, I loved seeing Tina and Mike on Glee because, wow, someone in 2009 looked like me on TV. But I also always felt a little bit off, but couldn't figure out why until I rewatched it as an adult. Living in Utah, I was often one of, if not the only, Asian kid in my class and school, and so it was like what I was known as. You know, I was reduced to the Asian girl, and for middle through high school, it was kind of the thing I clung to. Kind of like, I'm not like other girls, but I'm not like everyone else. And so to see Tina and Mike on Glee was so exciting because they looked like me, but it was also rough because they were also reduced to the Asian kid and the other Asian kid. Because there was like no representation of Asian people in the media, and even now there's very little, and like none in my life besides my dad, I genuinely believed the stereotypes about Asian people to be a real thing. I thought we were all inherently smart and good at music, etc., etc., and so it caused a lot of inner turmoil and imposter syndrome, like, am I actually smart because I am smart and work hard, or is it because I'm Asian and that's the only reason I'm smart and good at music? I am now 24 and can watch the show through a different lens. I can now laugh at the ridiculous of an Asian F. Still racist and problematic, but I no longer believe the stereotype, so it doesn't affect me how it used to. However, it does make me wonder how it is affecting the Asian tweens/teens watching it for the first time now. Do they feel the same way I did? Or is it like you guys mentioned in an episode, how they understand going into watching it, that it isn't supposed to be serious, so they just laugh at how problematic it is? Something I really liked about the episode was the conversation with Mike and his mom, and how she asked if we earned the part in the musical, and then says, "My job is to encourage you to live your dreams, not mine, not your dad's." I've seen that episode countless times, and that scene always makes me emotional, and I think that plot was pretty realistic. Like telling your parents you want to go into the arts instead of a very secure job like doctor or lawyer can be really hard. And I think especially so for children of immigrants and or traditional Asian parents, because in a lot of cultures, the children end up taking care of their parents and grandparents as they get older. So the career they choose and how successful they are really affects the whole family. Finally, on to my question. During one of the minisodes, you ranked the different TV musical shows, and when you mentioned Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, I got really stressed because I love, like for real love that show, and thought if it isn't ranked number one or high, I might have to stop listening to the podcast. I would be too hurt. But thank God it was ranked number one like it deserves. Anyway, my question is, if the characters of Glee sang songs from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, what songs would they sing and who would sing them? And do you have a favorite or a few favorites from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend? Here are mine if you were curious. I'll give a brief synopsis of the songs that Nikki picked. You Stupid Bitch, sung by Quinn, specifically at the moment where we are in season 3 right now when her life is falling apart. I'm a Good Person, sung by Rachel. Nikki, I have that exact combination on my list as well. Women Gotta Stick Together, sung by Santana. Let's Have Intercourse, sung by War Criminal Will Schuster. That's on my list as well. Feeling Kind of Naughty Tonight, sung by Tina, specifically after Tina goes on a rant about how angry she is that Rachel gets all this attention and why don't people look at her like they look at Rachel. Let's Generalize About Men, sung by Brittany Mercedes Crittentina. The First Penis I Saw, sung by One Emma Pillsbury, after she has sex with Will Schuster for the first time.
Very good.
Thank you for making this podcast. It is something I look forward to every week, and it makes me very happy to know you both love Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and Taylor Swift. XOXO Gossip Girl. I'm sorry. XOXO Nikki. P.S. I actually went to SUU for a bit, which is where we both went, everyone, and was a music major, so we have some mutual friends. It never occurred to me that you two could somehow be connected to me like you were just voices on the internet. But I looked at your profiles on Instagram and was like, wait. Small world. I think I saw you two in 42nd Street a couple years ago. Okay, goodbye for real this time. Nikki, you absolutely did.
That was Ian and I.
If you saw 42nd Street at SUU, we were for sure in it. We were for sure. What's up?
Ian was like the lead in that show.
I was not, but thank you for saying that.
You were the lead in Pretty Lady.
I was the lead in the show within the show. That is correct.
Nikki, thank you so much for this message. I'm so grateful for such thoughtful listeners with like perspectives that, you know, I just genuinely appreciate this email. Thank you so much.
All right. On to the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I will try to get through it quickly. If you like super don't care because you've never seen the show, just skip ahead like 2 minutes or something. I don't know, man.
2 minutes. Let's go.
Okay. So while doing this, what I realized was that if Glee were a lot more self-aware of what it is, Rebecca Bunch and Rachel Berry are incredibly similar people because they do super similar stuff. But in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, it's always framed in a way of like, can you believe that Rebecca is doing this? Like she is spiraling. She is such a mess. And yet it still makes you care about her. Whereas in Glee, they're always like, forget that Rachel did all that terrible stuff. She's the best. And then like makes you piss at her and you don't like her. All this to say that Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is better written than Glee. Okay. But I also all this to say that I gave like a bunch of Rebecca Bunch songs to Rachel.
Yeah.
Off the bat. I'm a Good Person. Rachel Berry already mentioned it. I wish that we could have had this arc in Glee. Rachel singing I'm the Villain in My Own Story, which is the moment when Rebecca realizes she looks at all of her actions from an outside perspective and is like, wait, I have actually been like screwing up other people's lives in pursuit of what I want. But Rachel's never that self-aware.
No, she never is.
Settle for Me, sung by Artie to Tina, beginning of season 2 when he's trying to win her back. So many of these are Rachel. Love Kernels, sung by Rachel to Finn in the back half of season one when they like just start dating, like in Hello, and yeah. she's very clingy and he's like, I don't know if I like this.
He's like, this feels weird.
The TikTok trend Friendtopia, sung by Unholy Trinity.
So good. Who's who?
Quinn.
The brainy one.
Had a sense of ship and mind control. Brittany. The cool one. I put drugs in the water supply. Santana. The sexy one. Za of torture. Of course.
The rage that fills you when a Crazy Ex-Girlfriend song goes viral on TikTok because you're like, people need to watch this show.
Because no one ever looks up what it's from. And I'm like, that show never got it to do. It's a work of genius. Yeah. Rachel Bloom is the best. People need to watch it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that part of that song is really fun.
Yeah.
But the whole song is great. Yeah. And it's so funny. And I know people aren't going to listen to it. Everyone listen to all the songs that
Have we talked about who we are in the Friendtopia trio?
I don't think we have.
We should say it. I think Ian is the brainy one, had a sensitive mind control. I'm the cool one. I put drugs in the water supply. And I'm also the sexy one. Zara of torture.
Maybe she's not such a heinous bitch after all, which is a song that Rebecca sings about her mom when she's like, maybe I misjudged her and I have Rachel singing it about Shelby.
I do love that song.
Nothing is ever anyone's fault, which is a song that Rebecca and Nathaniel sing where they're trying to justify everything that they've done. And they're like, well, it's not my fault that I was rude to this person because I have past trauma. And it's not my fault that I'm like this because I had bad parents and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. That's Rachel and Will. That's their whole character. Is they're just awful to people. And they're like, but it's not my fault because like I am very ambitious.
Yeah.
The group mind has decided you're in love. Spoiler alert, Alex Allred hit 30-second skip. This is after Clayne breaks up and literally like everyone on the show is trying to get them back together.
Like even
specifically C. Sylvester.
Yeah. I've seen the Hurt Locker. Best episode of this television show.
Very good, Hurt Locker Part 2. We'll never have problems again. Sung by Finn and Quinn in season 2, right when they get back together. And then Maybe This Dream, sung by Tina Cohen-Chang. If the show was aware of how it treated Tina,
yeah,
they would have her sing that song. But they are completely unaware of how awful they treat this woman. And then just shout outs to songs I like. I'll be really fast. These are, in my opinion, the best songs of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. This is so long. You know what?
I love that song.
I looked at this list. I was like, wow, I really wrote 15 songs.
You did.
They're all good.
Just tell people to watch the show. Damn it.
Just watch the show, everyone.
I heart you, but this is a lot.
But special shout out to Dream Ghost, the song, because one of the singers is Amber Riley.
Aww.
All right. Moving on.
Nikki, thanks so much for letting Ian have that moment.
It's very important to me.
Up next, we have an email from E.
Okay. Hey, Lean and Ian. I'm E, he, him. For an episode called Asian F, I was not surprised that it would be packed full of racism. The Mercedes plot is absolutely horrendous and uncomfortable. I'm convinced that Will fucking hates Mercedes and is blatantly racist. The lazy and angry black woman stereotypes have been super present in this entire show, but this episode truly put it into full gear. There's so much to say, so I'm just going to try to organize my thoughts. 1. Will ignores Mercedes' medical needs entirely. It's literally just medical racism. If any other kid was on the verge of throwing up or breaking an ankle, he would have been at least a little more compassionate. 2. Will is super unnecessarily aggressive towards Mercedes this entire episode. Yelling at her, getting in her face, etc. And then has the audacity to say she's too much and that her attitude is out of control. He paints her as an angry black woman. 3. The entire Glee Club also gaslights her by acting like her behavior isn't justified when she is literally being verbally assaulted by Will every booty camp. 4. Rachel has had worse meltdowns in Glee Club and still got to come back to Glee Club. They just believe that Mercedes isn't worth keeping. 5. The entire Dreamgirls number was uncomfortable. They put her through all of that for a song. 6. The fact that Will calls out Emma's parents like he isn't racially gaslighting his student daily is so... The call is coming from inside the house, Mr. Shu.
Yeah.
In conclusion, Will should be fired. Death to him.
Death to all of them.
Even E's audience thought he had gone too far. But we don't. We don't think he went too far.
No. Not at all. I absolutely agree with this. And I think it is this. The racism with Mercedes is definitely, I would say it flies under the radar more than the Asian jokes do in this episode. And this one is just like societal, like deep, fucked up shit that like, this is, you know, they've been painting Mercedes as this lazy, angry person for a long time, which like contradicts a lot of things that they've already written about her, but they like need something for Mercedes to do. So they rely on stereotypes, which they do for a lot of characters, but like it is particularly pointed with Mercedes and it's awful.
And there's a difference between like the stereotype of the dumb cheerleader.
Yes, absolutely.
Which has nothing to do with the actor and what they look like.
No, not at all.
And the stereotype of like a very racist prevalent stereotype that has been used to oppress a group of people for years and years and years.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, it's gross.
Super gross.
Ugh. I do love It's All Over. I can't deny it.
I know you do. You read this email. Scene. I watched you read this email. You went, agree to disagree?
I was like, agree with every point. Except that It's All Over slaps.
It's so fun. It does it, but I do agree with E when he says that they put her through all of that for the song.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Where they like, you know, made her stomach hurt and made her almost throw up, and they made her like gave her an attitude just for the song. But it also like you have to be, I think, a bit more careful about the shit they write, you know? Mm-hmm. Like they obviously weren't very thoughtful about what they were doing, you know?
Yeah.
Will should be fired. Death to him.
You had me fooled, Mr. Schuster. You didn't. You too, Mr. Schuster.
Mr. Schuster. You too, Mr. Schuster.
To all of them.
To all of them. Ugh, Wendy Williams.
When's she coming on the podcast? All right.
Seriously. Oh my gosh. Could you imagine if we got Wendy Williams on this podcast? She would be. She would hate it.
It'd be absolutely wild.
She'd be like, clap if you hate Glee. E, thank you so much. I really appreciate this email.
My favorite clap if you've all time is clap if you don't prefer to see yourself naked. Go ahead.
That's a good one.
And honestly,
sometimes I'll just watch like Wendy Williams. We, the other day, we were eating dinner together, just like ate in silence and watched a compilation of Wendy Williams crying. that's what marriage is like between you and me.
It's true. I had a conversation with my roommate about her this morning because I was telling him about, on a lighter note, Bruce Springsteen's daughter is going to the Olympics. And he was like, how does she still have a platform? She should not be on television. And I was like, I hear you. You're probably correct. I never want her show to go off the air.
No, please. Seriously.
It is very toxic. She says a lot of stuff that's not okay. It is the most entertaining thing I've ever seen in my life.
My favorite is when she wipes her tears with a Q-tip.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
anyway. E, thanks so much. Up next, we have an email from Sion.
Hi, Lena and Ian. My name is Sion. She, her pronouns. Last week's minisode, it was pointed out by someone that we don't really get to see interracial relationships on television. While I get that and love Sam Sadie so much, I do want to say why I think Shane and Mercedes is so important. We do see black couples on television, but Hollywood has such a weird perception of black men and women and their relationships that a lot of the time we're not represented correctly. Seeing such a tender, supportive, and sweet relationship on screen between Shane and Mercedes is so beautiful, especially since it's shot in high school. They just genuinely like each other, and Shane believes in Mercedes' talent 100%, and he's the first one at McKinley to do so and vocalize it. I am a Sam Sadie shipper through and through, but I don't ever complain when Shane and Mercedes come on screen. Also, I'm listening to Asian F right now, and I completely agree with you guys when you say that you hate Booty Camp. Will is so mean to his students during this period of the season, and it's ridiculous. I know that it's planted that Mercedes has a random stomach bug because they sing It's All Over, but it's weird that she's like, my stomach hurts / my ankle hurts, and he's like, no, you're lazy, and just keeps yelling at her. He's so terrible. And if he really cares so much about his students like the show tries to tell me he does, why wouldn't he work with her another time one-on-one? Mm-hmm. He keeps yelling at her in front of her classmates and embarrassing her when he could just offer to work to help her work on it another time so she could practice it without an audience and when she's feeling better. Also, you guys probably already know this, but in the Run the World performance, they have a moment where everyone bends down and it highlights the Unholy Trinity. This performance is one of my favorites solely for that moment. Okay, that's all from me. Sion.
Sion, thank you so much. I genuinely appreciate that. And I think Shane is such a cool character on this show as well. I think he's just a sweetheart, and seeing Mercedes like be cared for is super awesome because, I mean, she had a good relationship with Kurt, you know, like they had a nice, like, caring friendship.
Oh, and, remember that?
Oh,
the writers don't.
They don't. But, like, you know, we haven't really seen people be kind to Mercedes. Yes. And it's lovely seeing someone just, like, believe in her 100% mm-hmm. because that's what she deserves.
Yeah. Yeah. There it is.
There it is.
I think, you know, I'm sorry about how much we talked about Gabby Hanna.
I know.
You can really skip over it if you want. But we just, we had to give the people what they wanted.
Permission to skip over the stuff you've already listened to. That's our mini-sode, y'all.
There it is. Let's hit up that sweet, sweet Relatov Pish game.
Pish game. I think I went first last week. I could be mistaken.
Probably.
Maybe.
You'd think I would learn to
keep
track.
How about you go first? We should like flip a coin or something.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Okay. I think that's how we did it last time.
Well, woof. I think that's how we did it in Purple Piano Project.
Also, is Rock, Paper, Scissors hard to listen to?
I was just going to go, bah, 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 bah.
No, but I mean, like, people can't see, like, whether we're picking scissors or rock. Or paper.
Great. I'll go first.
No, we'll do it.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. I am holding in my hands two fingers to represent scissors.
I've got a flat hand to represent paper.
Scissors cuts paper. I am going first.
Mm-hmm.
So we got Spotlight, Run the World, Girls, Cool, It's All Over, Out Here on My Own, Fix You, Please Don't Ask Me to Sing, Out Here on My Own, I've Never Seen Fame.
I haven't either. Okay, I'm going to ask you to sing Fix You.
Ooh. Okay. I have lost all confidence in this game.
I know, me too.
I am just...
It's honestly frustrating now.
All right.
I used to have like a real like passion for it.
I know. And now I'm just like, they're going to hear me like, lose again.
I'm just going to lose.
Just going to further prove that I don't have relative pitch. When you try your best, but you don't succeed. When you get what you want, but not what you need. This is right on my break. When you feel so tired, but you can't sleep. Stuck in reverse. Okay.
That's lovely. When
you try. I do have an app now that is a pitch pipe instead of just plucking it on the piano. And it says that when you try, that's an A flat to F.
Okay. You ready?
Yes. When you try your best, I'm flat. I'm a full step flat.
I'm sorry.
You try your best, but you don't succeed. That's about me. When you get what you want, which is finding out that you're not good at relative pitch, but not what you need, which is a validation that you are good at relative pitch. When you feel so tired, but you can't sleep. Because you have so many shows going on, you have to keep waking up for them.
Classic.
Stuck in reverse. Because the lever in your car is broken.
Yeah, it's broken.
It's stuck on R, so I drive everywhere backwards. It's terrible.
It's awful.
Well, I did a bad job.
Oh. All right, what should I sing?
You should sing, if I can get to it.
Please pick something I know.
Isn't it cool?
Yeah, I sure sure do.
You're going to sing cool.
Okay. So this is the Mike Chang version. Is it different than the other one? I don't know. I think it's boy, boy, crazy boy.
It's a very toxic-y song. I didn't realize.
Turn off the juice, boy. Go, man, go. But not like it, yo, yo, school boy. Just play it cool, boy. Real cool. I can't do it.
Okay, so our magical pitch pipe
Turn
is saying
off
that.
The juice, boy.
That line
go,
is.
Go, man, go.
A C.
Okay. I'll go back there.
This is such a good song. What's going on?
You gotta see this music.
What? Wait, I've definitely seen West Side Story. I'm super would have talked about it already if I had absolutely never seen the show or movie. You're on pitch.
Ah, I went through a big West Side Story phase. Like, that movie is long, and I watched it, like, bi-weekly. And I used to, like, run around my room and run around my, like, living room and, like, jump on the couches and go, crazy, cool, go, crazy,
That's
go, cool.
Amazing.
Well, and now I'm on pitch, so fuck you. Just kidding.
The movie I watched every week was Beauty and the Beast. Pretty dope.
Well, not as good as Silence of the Lambs, so I'll tell you
what. That you watched every week growing up? Oh, no, because
It beat it in the Oscars.
Why would you reopen that wound?
I know.
Me?
It's a point of contention in our relation, in our marriage.
In our platonic marriage.
In our platonic marriage.
Well, much love to Oscar Academy Award nominated Beauty and the Beast, not Academy Award winning. I mean, it did win like Best Original
yeah.
Song, but who cares about that?
Yeah.
Just kidding. Many people do.
Many people do.
All right.
You, I do. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Thank you so much for your thoughts. And thank you for emailing us and sending us voicemails. We read them and listen to them all. And we really appreciate all of them, seriously. And we love all of you and we love having you here. Seriously. Oh, my gosh. We are going to talk about what's the next episode on the docket?
You think I would know the name of it.
You think I would know too.
It's,
I don't.
Crazy. Cool. Honestly, I think it's the first time. If it's the first time, everyone buckle
whoa,
up.
Whoa, whoa,
I have had
whoa.
Thoughts about this episode since it aired in 2011
no.
that I have been needing to share
Seriously.
With the world.
You guys, if it's the first time, woof. Let's get ready for that. If you have thoughts about it, which, bitch,
so
I know you do, you best send them to us.
You have to burst your bubble. Damien McGinty's coming to town.
Oh,
it's Pot of Gold.
Oh, crap. It's what? It's like, Rainbow Connection. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. No, it's Pot of Gold.
Pot of Gold.
But he does
crap.
Sing a Kermit the Frog song. You
That's
are correct.
What I thought. That's what I thought.
So everyone, just hold off a week.
Hold off a week. Do not
we gotta
send
get
us
Damien
your first
on
time
the show
thoughts.
First.
Do not send us your first time thoughts yet. But do send us your Pot of Gold thoughts.
Woo!
Gonna go meet our boy, Damien McGinty. All right, you guys.
Let's never refer to him as his character's name.
Oh, please. I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. Keep it real, big deals. See you later. Here is a mini kiss on your mini forehead, consensually, of course. I am the shining star.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.